All right. Well, good morning, Trailhead. All right. I'm excited to be here today, and I hope you are too. As Pastor Josh said, this is the last single service Sunday we will be having today. So remember, next week, 9 and 11. If you show up at 10, you're still have the 11, but you'll just be really early. And that's fine if that's your business, but just keep that in mind, okay? 9 and 11, and we are so pumped. We have been a multi-service church for years, and then the pandemic happened, and then we had to go to single, and now we're really excited to get back to two services. So we're pumped. We hope you're pumped with us. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Adam. I'm the teaching pastor here at Trailhead Church. That handsome devil up there was Pastor Josh. He is the senior pastor of this church. He is out west right now getting some much-needed rest and rejuvenation, and he is going to come back geared up for next week for our two services, so I'm pretty pumped about that. But, you know, today we are in the series On the Line. As you can tell, if this is your first time here, you're like, well, they have a football field in their sanctuary. This is not an every Sunday thing. This is what we're doing for this series. It's called On the Line. It's all about teams and all about what it is to be a part of the church, not just part of a church, but the church, all right? So I'm going to be blunt honest with you all. Not exactly what they call a sporty guy. I don't know if you, shut up, no. No, everyone always like, you play basketball, don't you? Listen, that is a vicious stereotype. Tall people do not play basketball. There's been many disappointed seventh grade pickup teams that have been very upset over the fact that I got out there and I could not play. So I like college sports. I like to follow college sports. I'm not really an NFL guy, so I'm sorry. I don't have like any real, sometimes I'll root for the Dallas Cowboys because I know that just angers Pastor Dave because he's a rabid Steelers fan. And that's only out of spite. I don't even know who plays for them anymore. So that's who I am. But I like hockey. Hockey season's coming up. I've not been able to follow a whole lot over the past few years. It's more of like following at a distance. I know we got some really hardcore hockey fans, but my wife and I, back when the Canes were terrible and tickets were like a dollar a piece, we went all, oh no, those were the glory days, right? Kind of wish they'd go back to that. Now they're all good and stuff. I like pro wrestling. The real wrestling, not that fake stuff they do with the Olympics, all right? I want the real wrestling that's on cable TV. That's what I like. That's my kind of wrestling right there, all right? So I like that. See, what's funny, though, some of you don't know Chris TNT Taylor. Chris is probably one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my entire life. He's a pro wrestler, and he's very good at what he does. He wrestles for indie promotions and whatever. And I remember when he came into the church, I'll never forget the day him and his wife, Kelly, awesome people. If you don't know him, get to know him. But I know they came into the church and he was wearing a WWE shirt. And I was like, you like wrestling? Because wrestling is in that area, is in that thing of, you know, things that no one will ever, like, you can't find anyone who admits they like it, but yet they make billions of dollars every year. So it's like them, McDonald's, Nickelback, Creed. It's like, I can't find someone that says they like it, but yet they're bringing in millions of dollars every year. So somebody's lying, all right? So somebody's lying about that, okay? So I like that, you know, I like things like that, but I do understand a little bit about what it is to be a team and what that means. Because whether or not you understand it, you are on a team in some capacity. You're probably on multiple teams. You don't even know it. See, whenever you have mutual interest or mutual things you care about, you kind of become a member of that team. So if you're a Duke fan, don't boo me, or a UNC fan, I know everyone, or State. Hey, there's a couple of State. State's like, we're here too. Daggone it. You know your people, and so like when, say, Duke has a big win, you go and rejoice with them, right? Same thing with if you like UNC or if you like State, you go and you rejoice with them. I have a handful of my wrestling buddies in here. I got my boy Dom and Chris and Jason. Whenever we watch it, we watch a good show. We're like, man, did you see what happened? Like, we converge because we are on that team of that mutual interest, mutual things we like. And so we do that. And there's also, and this is a true story, there's also if you don't like certain things, you know, things that like everyone else just expects you to like, you kind of relate a little bit with them too. So if you're like a picky eater, like me, you sympathize with other picky eaters. You guys hang out at the barbecue. Like, I ain't eating that. You ain't eating that. I ain't eating that. I hate hot dogs. I hate them. And don't be like, have you had a Nathan's hot dog? Yes, it was disgusting. I hate hot dogs. All right? When I was 19, I was on a mission trip in the Czech Republic. They made me a real bratwurst over a fire. Like, I mean, with the grease dripping. Took one bite of it. Really like it. Just not a fan. So when I find someone else who doesn't like hot dogs, we're bonding. We are clinging to each other of how can we avoid getting this hot dog without offending somebody. Or I'll give you another example. Let's say you've ever said these words in any coffee shop. Just go to any coffee shop and you have to explain yourself and say these words. I just don't really like Adele. See, some of you right now, oh, don't you dare. Don't you dare. You have to like now explain yourself for why you don't like Adele or Beyonce or the Beatles. I'll be honest, those of you who grew up with the Beatles, I understand why you like them. They were revolutionary. But in my age group, I don't really listen to them. And a lot of people who are in my age who say they like the Beatles cannot name more than like two songs because they don't want to have to explain themselves. I can tell you track 6 on Creed's second album, all right? It's Faceless Man, by the way. So, go back and check that. I can do that. But you're in this group, you're on this team, and when you find that safe place, that tribe of people who don't like these things, you kind of find some comfort in that. It's just this kind of natural tribal mentality we have where we kind of gravitate to people with similar interests, similar ideas. If you're at your workplace and you hear somebody say something political that agrees with your philosophy, you're going to be like clinging to that person because you're just waiting for someone to say something you agree with. I mean, that's just kind of how we're wired. It's that comfort. But, when you're on that team, you share goals. You rejoice in those wins. You mourn those losses. You are in that area. But when it comes to the team as the church, a great example of this can be found in Acts chapter 2, of what it is to be a team in terms of sharing that passion, sharing these things. And I know you're expecting me to give you some good Friday night lights or facing the giants metaphor. It's going to come off a little bit that way in some regards, but again, I don't really play football. My mom wouldn't let me because she was afraid of concussions. And that was back when I was like 8. So she was ahead of the game. So I'm going to try to do my best, but a great example of this, of having that mutual interest and mutual shared passions comes from the early church. Now, in Acts chapter 2, we all kind of know the story. Those of you who've been in church for a while, you know the story of when the Holy Spirit fell on disciples. They went out, they ministered the gospels. Peter preached a message, 3,000 people got saved, and the very first church started. But a lot of people tend to overlook what happens next. All right, so if you have your Bibles or if you have your app, go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says this, that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So immediately, this new group of people, 3,000 people, people from all over the area with different languages and cultures and ethnicities, all are gathering together to hear the apostles' teachings. Keep in mind, there was no New Testament as we have it today in terms of organized writings. This is basically the New Testament being written right now. So they are hearing the apostles' teachings, the people who knew Jesus. They were devoting themselves to what was being said, but they were also sharing in meals. They were also spending time together. They were fellowshipping. We're talking people from all over the area, and people who don't necessarily, who before did not have those, similar interests and experiences. They were all now here together. Then go to verse 43. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the time while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. So you're seeing people from all walks of life forming this completely new team. And so much so, there was so much loyalty to this team that they were now selling their possessions to make sure no one went without. Selling their possessions to make sure that everyone who is now in this church, in this group of believers, people who are finding this unity, now no one was going to go without. Now that indicates major, major life change. There was this brotherhood, this sisterhood. It's hard to imagine someone you just met and you're going to like cash in your car to help them find a meal. Like that's kind of amazing to think about. Now, if it was my family, if it was like my, you know, a situation like where, you know, I had to feed my kids and the only thing I could do was get rid of my car, then sure. But now they're feeling that same love towards each other because of the Holy Spirit. See, when God established a church, you were never meant to go solo. We weren't meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. That's not who we are meant to be. We're meant to be part of a body, part of a group, part of a team together. Because when you are disconnected from the body of Christ, it's going to yield an unfruitful spiritual life. It just is. It's not going to be productive. It's not going to be fruitful. It's going to be really, really lacking. And we are called to love each other. And that's what you see right here. You're seeing such a great love. Because humans are naturally selfish beings. If you don't believe me, have a toddler. My 2-year-old was at a birthday party yesterday. Took the birthday girl's toy and just went and played with it and wouldn't let her have it. I didn't teach him that, all right? That was just something natural to him. That's why we have to teach our kids to share. It's like all us parents have PTSD when we hear the word share now. Share. Make sure you're sharing. Everyone share. We have to continually get our kids to do that. They immediately picked up on it and were giving what they had. So what makes a team a team, all right? Well, number one, teams have the same unified goal, okay? There may be differences in how we get that goal, but we all eventually have the same goal. You know, unless you're like, you know, my kid's 6-year-old soccer team, which has no goalies, no score, everyone just run around and have fun. All right, that's the exception. But if you're on a football team, you want to win, right? If you're on a basketball team, you want to win. If you're playing hockey, if you're, well, whatever it is, you are wanting to be successful. That is the ultimate goal. No matter what that may look like, you want to be successful. If you are not going for the top prize, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing? But what is our goal? In Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus gives us our goal right there, to go into the world and spread the gospel, to make disciples, to help grow people, to disciple others. And we celebrate those wins. We don't work against each other. Some of you may know about the 1919 Black Sox, the Chicago Black Sox. They were a team that was up in the World Series. They were going up against the Reds. And so 8 members, including Shoeless Joe Jackson, say it ain't so, Joe, if you've never heard that phrase before, the odds were definitely in favor of the Black Sox, which meant that the gambling possible winnings for the Reds was going to be high if they won. So they got paid to basically work against their team and throw the game or throw the series. See, we can't be having that in the church. We can't be having working against each other for our own monetary gain. And those guys are now banned from the MLB Hall of Fame pretty much forever. But see, Jesus gave us his mission. That's why we have a culture, especially in our church, we want to celebrate the wins. We want to when someone gets saved, we want to celebrate. We want to cheer. Someone gets baptized. That's why we have it during worship, so that way when people come up, we can cheer with you. When someone gets filled with the Holy Spirit, we cheer, we get excited. When someone's finding their purpose, we get excited because it's all one unified body. If you win, we win. We celebrate that. All right, and I know some of you have been in church situations where like, well, I know so-and-so, they didn't celebrate. Then they're not on the team, don't worry about them. I mean, we pray for them. They need to be on the team, but they need to repent and get on the team the right way. I remember there was a time when, we had because before you get baptized, we have a baptism class. And I remember, this was years ago, someone was like kind of nervous to get baptized, said, you know, there's people I went to high school with in your church, and they knew me from back then. And I was like, well, shoot, if they know Jesus, they should be even more pumped. That person was crazy. Look what God's doing in their life. if they're going to judge you for it, it's time to get on the team. Time to really get on the team. Don't worry about them. This is all, we're going to just cheer harder than they're, I don't even know what they're doing. But we get excited about that. So as a team, we all have that one unified goal, and that is to spread the gospel, to grow disciples, to baptize. We have that unified goal, and we are all working together, which brings me to the next point. Teams work together. Teams must work together. Going back to the Black Sox, they were not working together, which is why there was a great failure. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, Paul says this, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in his spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. If you've ever taken the Pathfinder, you probably heard me use this example before. One thing we talk about, especially in week two, is we talk about how we are all wired differently, but to make a difference. We all are what you call a 10 in some area. We all have every task is important. You'll hear me talk about that quite a bit. Because a lot of times in the church world, we kind of get this little bit of mentality, and it's more probably the American, I don't know if it's just the American church or if it's other areas that struggle with this, but we get in this mentality of like, here's the role of, you know, import of value when it comes to spreading the gospel. The senior pastor, the worship pastor, and there's Pastor Dave, and then everyone else. We're all down here. And these are the levels of importance. That is not true at all. Let me tell you, and I'll give you this example, because I know some of you are like, oh, I've heard this before. I've seen that bumper sticker, keep going. No, let me give you this example, and this is the example I give. So we have an awesome parking lot team. Awesome. Some of the nicest people in the entire world. Listen, next time you see them, make sure you tell me how much you appreciate them, because it gets hot out there sometimes. Not today, but I mean, over the summer, it got pretty hot out there. But let's say we have someone who's probably not the nicest guy in the world, okay? Now, we've all been there. We've all been in a crowded parking lot. You know, you're in a crowded parking lot, and you're driving, and all you see is just a sea of cars. But in the distance, you see this one open space. You are excited. And so you hurry only to see a big, giant tire right over the line. And there's not enough room for your car. Let's say you're not the best parker in the world, and you pull up here at Trailhead Church, and you pull up, and you parked over the line, and here comes a parking lot attendant. You moron! What is wrong with you? Do you see the line? You think I'm just going to let you park there? No! Now, I don't care how good the word is. I don't care how good the worship is. I don't care how nice the greeters are. What is that person going to be thinking about for the entire time they're here and they're supposed to be receiving the gospel message? Now, the Holy Spirit does whatever he wants. I'm not putting limitations on the Holy Spirit. All right? Holy Spirit can have breakthroughs no matter what. But one thing we do not want to do in this church, and we don't want any other church to do, is to give the devil a foothold. And that's what takes place. We're not going to give him an opportunity to distract from what God's trying to do. Now, that other individual, that person, now obviously, this has never happened ever. This has never happened ever at this church, okay? But let's say that would happen after they were corrected, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. That individual in particular probably is not fitted best for the parking lot. But maybe that extreme attention to detail could work well when it comes to our facility management, or maybe even in media or something like that. You have gifts, you have abilities, you have callings. God has wired you a certain way for a reason. So it's not senior pastor, worship pastor, Pastor Dave, everyone else. We are all working together to share that good news. When you greet somebody and you see that person come to know Christ, you played a role in that. When you see someone filled with the Holy Spirit and you help usher them, listen, any of us who responded to an altar call for anything know that there's that immediate like shake moment. Like, I shouldn't go. No, it's for someone else. And the Holy Spirit's telling them, listen, when you help them with that, you are playing a big role in that. When it comes to our people who are doing media and sound, who are able to broadcast this, listen, that's a lot of hard work. They are playing a role in people receiving the Word of God. When it comes to people who are doing our facilities management, who wants to go into our bathroom and see toilet paper and God knows what everywhere else? The one thing that we do not want to do, period, and I know I'm speaking to the choir for some of you, and I know I'm speaking mostly to the people who are already involved or people who are thinking about getting involved. We do not want to give the devil a foothold, period, to distract anyone from receiving the good news. So never, ever think that, well, because I'm here, like that's not important. No. God has wired you and equipped you with different gifts for a reason. And your task is just as important as whoever holds this mic, whoever plays an instrument, whatever. You are just as important, right? So, and it should be clearly understood too, what unifies us together should never be considered external, okay? Nothing external, nothing on the outside. A lot of times, it's okay to be, like, it's okay to be a Duke fan. It's okay to be a UNC fan. It's okay to be Republican. It's okay to be Democrat. It's okay to be whatever these things. But those are sub-teams to the big team. All right? Okay, all those things. So if you were really in here and said, that guy's a Duke fan, I hate his guts. Okay, I think right now your priorities may be a little out of whack, all right? I think maybe that team has taken precedent over the other team. But when it comes down to it, what is external should not define us. I'll use this, there's another example. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, what's great about it is when the apostles were all speaking out in tongues in different languages, it was different languages of the people around. So we had people of different cultures coming together to be one church. I knew a missionary who was a missionary to Africa, I believe, and he went, and he was telling me about this two times. I can't remember the exact country, but I do remember it was on the continent of Africa. And he went, and he went to this service that they were having. He was going out there to speak or whatever. He went to this service, and the church, he said, was bumping, like just thriving. And they were also, like, when it comes to their music, it was music that was more similar to the local style. They were preaching in a way that the people in that area could understand or could relate to, is probably a better way to word it, better relate to, better receive the word. And so it was great. And he goes away for a couple of years, they ask him to come back, and he comes back, and he notices something's different. He said the worship was kind of like our worship, like American worship. The dress was like American dress, like what you expect in an American church, you know. At least at that time, we're talking early 2000s, so there was probably a lot more suits and things like that. The style, I mean, the way they did it, the way they had it build up in terms of the announcements and the fact that you had to do, because this was the big thing, you know, the big trend for worship was fast song, not quite as fast song, slow song. Like that was kind of how worship was built up. They did all that and just felt hindered. It just felt stuffy. And so he talked to the pastor and he said, hey, well, I noticed that there's big changes. And they're like, well, we want our church to grow. And we know that your church is growing. So we want to be more like the American church. He's like, no, that's not authentic. That's not real. Like, you know, we are not the gold standard for how things should for, I guess, necessarily worship. And he said, no, you guys are hindering the spirit in yourself because you're not being authentic. You're not trying to reach people in your area. You're trying to make people just American. And that's something that we have to make sure we don't get in the mindset of, and we're guilty of it too here, of everything has to look a certain way. If the guy doesn't, you have to wear a suit, or you have to have this, or you have to have music style like this, you have to have this, whatever. And different strokes for different folks, that's fine. I know some people have different music preferences, some receive differently, some receive different types of styles of preaching, and that's okay. All right, there's nothing wrong with that. But we don't divide ourselves over those things that don't matter. Revelation 7:9 says this, and this is from the vision of John. He says this: after I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. Now, all of these people, we're talking different language. I mean, Jesus is showing him on purpose different languages, different tribes, different ethnicities, different skin colors, different cultures, different norms, all these different things, but there's one thing that unifies them, and it's the white robe. That even though they look different, even though they may talk different, we are all unified by the blood of Christ. So the external is not what we are focusing on. What we focus on is who we are through Him. What matters the most is that white robe, the blood of Jesus. So don't get caught up in the things that don't matter. I mean, I've heard people come back from other churches and say, man, that church wasn't a good church. Well, it wasn't a good church. I didn't like the music. Okay. It just was not my style. Doesn't mean it's not a bad church. It's just not my style. Like, okay, that doesn't matter. Those kinds of things do not matter. All right, the next part is teams protect each other. Like I said, I like hockey. And you know what's interesting about hockey compared to other sports? If you get in a fight in the NFL or in the NBA or in Major League Baseball or in soccer, you're going to get fined. You're going to get suspended. You may even get charges brought up on you. You get in a fight in hockey, you get a 5-minute break. Isn't that awesome? I don't know what Canadian thought that up, but good for them. It's pretty amazing. You get a 5-minute timeout, and sometimes they'll just come out swinging again. And even like whenever there's about to be a fight, the refs will put back everyone up so they can just have it out. There is no trying to break it up. You can't do that in basketball. You can't do that in football. Football, they're wearing, you know, armor just like they are in hockey. No, we can't let them have that. Hockey, just let them go at it. Well, anyway, one of the first games my wife and I went to, and this was years ago, so I don't think they're even playing anymore for them, but they had a great shooter named Jeff Skinner. And Jeff Skinner was a young guy. He was kind of smaller, but he was a great shooter, all right? It was coming towards the end of the game. The Canes were up. I can't remember what team was playing them, but the player had been caught, and this one guy from the other team was just shoving Jeff Skinner, just shoving him. And you saw Jeff just trying to get away. Number one, if he takes him out, he is now out of the game for like 5 minutes. And that can mean a lot in a hockey game. And so he is shoving him. And Jeff was a small guy. And you can tell he's a young guy. You can even see sort of the fear in his eyes. He did not want to fight this guy. And we're all watching this. And out of nowhere comes this big Norwegian fist from one of the defensive players. And just wham! Right there. He just comes out of nowhere, sees that his boy Jeff is getting picked on, and just starts wailing on the dude because he knew he could go out and it wouldn't affect the overall play. Now, I am not in any way encouraging you to do that in a real life setting. All right? I got picked off for being a Christian. Where are they at? Like, you know, I'm not encouraging you to do that, but teams protect each other. If you are committed to the goal of the team, you will protect your teammates. And in the church role, that means you stay accountable to each other. You encourage each other. You lift each other up. You love each other. You want what's best for each other. If you are secretly harboring anger towards somebody who wronged you, it's time to let them go or let it go and just pray for God's best for their life. That's what separates us from the rest of the world. You pray, you encourage. Romans 14:9 says this, that so then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. We protect each other from whatever the enemy tries to do, whatever lies he tries to put in place, whatever lies he tries to put in our head, we protect each other, we encourage each other, we lift each other up, we speak the truth in love. You know, and I've read these scriptures, and this is from the book of John's letters, and I've read them for years, and I never really quite had a full grasp on what these, and we'll read them here in a second, what they actually meant and the weight they actually put on. Like, I always thought it was kind of a weird litmus test. And I'll go ahead and read them for you. The first one is 1 John 4:2. It says this, that this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, right? Then 2 John 1:7 says this, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. And I always heard that, and I always thought it was kind of a weird litmus test. You know what I mean? Of like, okay, Jesus Christ, you know. I feel like there's a lot of weird people out there saying some weird stuff that probably would say, yeah, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I always thought that was kind of odd. Again, one thing that you need to know about, especially when it comes to these letters, is you have to dive into context. You have to understand what John was actually saying here. So during this time, at the time of the church, when the church was being built up, all right, the letters, the scriptures were circulating, but not quite, but wasn't an organized, writing yet, because obviously John's writing 1 John here, all right, so he didn't have that letter to circulate going out. But a big thing that they were combating was false teaching. And so one thing that was being taught was by a group called the Gnostic Christians, and they taught something called docetism, okay? Don't worry, there's no test, you don't need to remember that word. But what they taught was that Jesus did not actually come in a physical human form. Instead, Jesus came as a spirit, would show up, give some, you know, little sayings, and then disappear. And then show up. And so Jesus did not actually come in a physical form. You're saying, well, why is that a big deal? Well, if Jesus did not come in a physical form, then there was no physical death. If there was no physical death, there's no atonement for sin. There's no atonement for sin, there's no salvation. Kind of a big deal, okay? So what John was competing with was this false teaching going through that had this little nugget that looked Christian and then could spread like this. Could spread to like where it is then infecting people. So John was basically saying this, hey, if someone comes in and is preaching something and that is not true to the gospel, do not give them a platform. Do not give them a means to spread their deceit. If you go on through verse 8 of 2 John, it says this, to watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. This is John too. John's always seen as the nice one. And John is going to such extreme because you got to keep in mind, like, this is the first church. And we have seen, I've been listening to a set of podcasts on cults. It's really fascinating stuff. I mean, horrifying stuff, but kind of fascinating. But like, and they all always sort of start out the same, especially like with the Christian cults. There's like a little nugget that looks Christian. It looks like it's lined up. And then they get in, they sort of gain the followers, and then that's when the foolishness kind of starts. I remember one time I was in New York, I was on a subway. My wife was originally from Brooklyn. We went up to visit her family or visit some friends. And I was on a subway, it was a crowded subway, so I was sitting by myself. And some guy just sits down next to me. And I'm just like, hey, how you doing, man? He said, good. Hey, would you like to hear about the gospel? And I was like, I mean, I'm on board. Again, I'm thinking I found another teammate, you know? I'm like, man, it's good. I'm a Christian, but hey, thanks so much. I said, okay, but have you heard about the Mother God? You have my attention? Now, that is a long story for a whole different message and a whole different encounter on what that took place. But I started, you know, when I got home, because I'm talking with this guy, and I get home and I do my research, because that's just where my mind immediately goes. This was a group based out of South Korea that sort of spread through here, and it all started sort of the same. It started with a guy who actually wanted to start a church. He died, and then his followers said, oh, this was the second coming of Jesus. And his wife was the Mother God. And they were spreading throughout the country, and they are taking and those movements were taking advantage of people by disguising themselves as Christians, and then moving in. So this is what John is writing about. We see this today. You're like 2,000 years ago. Listen, we are so many mainstream groups that have that little nugget of Christian to it. We talk about Jesus. Yeah, Jesus came in the flesh, but then when you really get into what it is not the same Jesus. So John is telling them, hey, do not give them a platform. It doesn't mean don't love them. It doesn't mean don't pray for them. It doesn't mean don't tell the truth in love. But hey, we're not giving them a platform. We're not going to let them infect our people with deceit. We are not going to let them steer them clear of the true gospel. We're not going to let these people come in and give false teachings. We are going to teach the true God and not this stuff. Because this stuff is of the devil, it does not deserve a platform in our church. And I know that sounds harsh. I know that sounds mean. But listen, we are here to protect each other. We are here to look after each other. I know the world says, well, that's not nice. We're not part of the world. We are part of the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. And just to clarify too, when there are differences, because there's a reason there's thousands of denominations in the world, okay? There's these things we call them open-handed issues or closed-handed issues. Those are my terminology. That's like kind of the easy terminology, not the technical. But an open-hand issue is something that maybe we may disagree with on another church. It could be some theology, like once in grace, always in grace, or you can backslide, or Calvinism, or not Calvinism, or hymnals versus contemporary music, or worship should be this, or worship should be that, or the preaching style should be this. Those are open-handed issues. At the end of the day, we're all going to heaven, okay? We'll let Jesus sort it out there, okay? At the end of the day, those are things we can discuss, we can debate, but we can't divide. The closed-handed issues are the things that are big. These are the issues that if you deny or encourage something that is contradictory to the actual biblical gospel teachings, those are the issues that are not, they're not good, all right? Those are the issues that do divide. Those are the issues of like where we can't give a platform to. If we said, hey, you know what, we want to hear this other point of view, and someone's up here saying Jesus was not real and he was just a ghost and he came and said some great things and then went away, yeah, we're not going to do that. That's not okay. We're going to pray for that person. We're going to love them. We're going to try to teach them the truth. But at the same time, they don't get a platform to encourage people or to influence people. So that's my rant for the day. And next, a healthy team knows it's not solely on the shoulders of one person. Man, there was few better times in this country to watch basketball than the 90s, right? You 90s, like, man, with the Bulls, with Jordan, I mean, it was a hot time to watch basketball, to watch the NBA. And Michael Jordan, I mean, he's the GOAT in my book, all right? I know everyone's like LeBron, everyone's like Kobe. No, Jordan. But, you know, Jordan, as good as he was, imagine if his entire team was terrible. Imagine that he didn't have Pippen. He didn't have Kukoc. He didn't have Longley. He didn't have Armstrong. He didn't have Grant. He didn't have all these guys. Imagine he didn't have them. I mean, and he's going up against five other great players on the court. It's not going to go so well. See, that's where we have to make sure that we as a church, we're not putting everything on the weight of one person. See, and I'm not trying to negate the authority of the pastor or the church leadership, but you have to be growing outside of a Sunday service. Because imagine if you were on a football team and you only ate fast food and you never worked out and you never trained, you never watched training video or you never watched, you know, tapes or videos, you never did these things, you're not going to be very effective. You're not going to be a great part of the team, and you're actually going to hold the team back. So that's why it's important that we grow ourselves, that we are making it a point to grow in our personal relationship with God. You can't just come in and just say, well, it's Pastor Josh's, you know, responsibility to make sure I have a good relationship with God. Don't get me wrong, Pastor Josh has his responsibilities as church leadership. He does have his responsibilities, such as us and anyone else who takes a leadership role. That's very biblical. But in terms of your personal relationship with your Heavenly Father, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing outside of Sunday? Because if you're relying solely on Pastor Josh, that's his faith. And that's for a new believer, I mean, that's okay for a little bit. But you have to be developing yourself, developing that own relationship with him. Because a lot of times, I mean, I've been a pastor and to some degree for since 2008. And one thing we always hear when people coming in or leaving on why they left the church, and there are valid reasons to leave a church. I know some of you, church hurt's a special kind of hurt, okay? So I do not think that I'm like pointing fingers at anyone or just making a blind, wide open statement, all right? I'm not doing that. But a lot of times I'll hear people say, well, I'm just not getting fed. I'm just not getting fed. I was excited at first, and now I'm just not getting fed. Well, Junior, grab a fork and eat. I mean, God has given you. Listen, and that's what's beautiful about the day we live in. There was a time in history when only people who were considered church leadership were allowed to read the Bible. And many people died to make sure you had that right. We have that ability to get into God's Word, to have one-on-one relationship with Him. So you have to also be making that. Because again, if you are just coming, if a football player only got, you know, any sort of activity done on game day, not so great. Yeah, he's not going to last very long. But you've got to be focusing on that relationship, because he wants to have a relationship with you. That's what's beautiful about it. He doesn't have to have it. God doesn't have to have you, but God wants you. I don't have to have my wife. There was no forced thing. I didn't like lose a bet, all right? I don't like owe her father a debt or anything. No, but we wanted to be together. That's called having a good marriage. Same thing with having a good relationship with your Heavenly Father. He wants to be with you. 2 Peter verses 1, 5 through 9 says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual effect, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins." Look at Peter's writings. Make every effort. Make every effort on your part so you do not become useless or ineffective in your faith. And again, I'm not trying to pick on everyone who's left the church. Right? There's valid reasons. Again, church hurts a special kind of hurt. There are some of you in here right now. You were super volunteer for forever. You were involved. And now you're super hesitant because you got hurt really bad. Listen, I'm sorry that happened to you. But listen, God's much bigger than that. And God wants that relationship with you. And it's time to be a part of that team again. It's time to let those wounds be healed. It's time to step away from the sidelines and get involved with what's taking place. It's time to connect with the body and connect with who we are, connect with what God wants us to do. Again, I'm not the best sports guy. I'm not. I like sports, don't get me wrong. I like team, but I I've never been very good at most sports, but I know what it is to be on a team. I know what it is to be involved. I know what it is to sort of feel like you're in the game. And I know that we are all dependent on each other. We're dependent on God, number one, okay? We're dependent on Him, the Holy Spirit. We're dependent on Him for that identity. But guys, we are meant to be connected. We are meant to be connected with each other, not disconnected. We are meant to be one body. And as we go into, we're going into this new season, back to two services. And I'm pumped for it. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to be able to have the additional opportunities to reach the lost, for people to come in, for people to hear the good news, to hear the gospel. And I know for some of you, God has been calling you to be part of that. Again, I want to tell you, every single thing that God has equipped you with is meant for His kingdom, is meant for His glory, is meant to make a difference. And don't get it in your head that it's insignificant, because it is not. It is not at all. God, and this is not about me just trying to get volunteers. This isn't. It's about me trying to encourage you to find your calling, find your purpose, get involved with what the body of Christ is doing. Be a part of the mission. Don't sit on the sidelines. Be a part of the team. Be a healthy team. Protect each other. Look after each other. Encourage each other. Love each other. Love each other so much where if somebody was going without, you would have no problem selling your car to help that family. Love each other with such a great passion that you would go above and beyond to help others. So if you're in this building right now, maybe this is your first time, maybe you've never been to church a day in your life, and you're like, well, this doesn't apply to me. Well, today's a good day to make it apply to you. See, we are called, Jesus died so that we can obviously know Him, but that we can know Him as one body, as one church, on the same mission. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, listen, if you're in this room right now and you're just like, hey, you know what? I've been stepped away for a long time. Maybe you got church hurt. Maybe you got hurt some other way. I don't know. But if that's you, and you want to know Jesus and as a real relationship, you want to know Him, just lift your hand up really quick. Just say, Pastor Adam, will you pray for me? Just between you and God. Anybody at all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, if you're in here and you know you're on the sidelines, I'm not even just talking about being a volunteer. I'm talking about just being involved. And you've been keeping everything, that God has for you at arm's length away, because whether it's because you were hurt a long time ago or somebody let you down, whatever that may be. If that's you and you're saying, hey, Pastor Aaron, will you just pray for me? I really just need a breakthrough in this area. Just lift your hand up real quick and put it down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So on the first call, there weren't any hands that went up, but there were some on the second call, which tells me some of y'all have been hurt. And Grant, I mean, this entire message wasn't necessarily about that, but I know church hurt can be a special kind of hurt. And what I want us to do, is let's go ahead and pray. And what I want us to do is to pray for the people beside us, pray for the people behind us, pray for the people in front of us, whatever that may be. Pray that this be a church that is unified, that this is a church that is healed, that this is a church that is whole, and that the sins of the past, no matter where you came from, whatever church you came from, or even if it was, maybe it was in this church, I don't know. I hope that was not the case, but maybe it is. That today is the day that we take a step forward. That today is the day that you are going to get off the sidelines and really go after what God has for you. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just thank you so much. Lord, we thank you, God, for the body of Christ that you have died for. That, God, that we can come unified, that we can be a team, that we can be a team that is going after one goal, and we are going after you. We are going after who you are. That, God, that we are a place that doesn't want to become stagnant, but, God, that a place that wants to be a place of love, that is growing, that is protecting, that is keeping each other accountable. That, God, that as we go in this next season as a church into two services, that we continue to grow but stay connected. That, God, that we are seeking after you, and, God, that we are growing each other, and that, God, that we are discipling others. And that, God, I pray, Father, right now, for those who are dealing with hurt, we pray, Father, right now just for breakthrough. And if that's you, I just encourage you right now, just let it go. Let God just forgive. Whoever that may need to forgive, and just whether you need to say it quietly to yourself, whether you need to mutter on your breath, just say, I forgive you. I let it go. And I pursue after what God has for me. It's time to get off the sidelines. It's time to make a difference. Lord, I pray, Father, for this church. I pray, Father, for this body, that we are continuing to grow, that we are continuing our eyes focused on you. And the Lord, that we will see a difference in Alamance County. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Look, if you need prayer today for anything at all, whether it be you want to come to know Jesus, I know I've been in that altar call situation. I didn't raise my hand. You know, that devil likes to keep it down, keep you anxious. If that's you, listen, we have a back room with some amazing prayer workers who want to pray with you. If you need prayer for anything, maybe you need some breakthroughs in your own life, whatever that may be, go get prayer. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. All right. A couple quick announcements just to keep in mind. Ladies, Women's Conference is coming up. If you haven't registered, now's the time to do it. Stop waiting. So if you haven't registered yet, stop by Next Steps or you can go to your app. Guys, Men's Conference, we're the week after that. Yes. Yes. Make sure you register, because we need to know who is wanting to go paintball, who's wanting to play golf, who's wanting to do the football tailgate, who is wanting to do the chili cook-off. Remember, we have two trophies, the best trophy and the spiciest trophy. And for years, Thomas has had that trophy by boring gasoline in a bucket with tomato. I don't know what he's doing, but it's been awful. He's trying to punish us. This is your year, man, right? So, with that said, guys, and if you haven't signed up for a group, sign up for a group, trello.church/groups. Guys, have a fantastic Sunday. Pray for you. You have the best, best week ever. And next week, when's the first service? When's the second service? Don't come here at 10, unless you have to volunteer. Then you can come at 10.